You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
My name is Greg Jackson. I'm a PhD holding historian, a professor, and the creator of History That Doesn't Suck, a podcast that makes legit, seriously researched American history come to life through entertaining stories. Join me for a chronological telling of the United States story, from the Revolution to fractious Civil War, tenacious inventors, brave reformers, and more. With more than 100 episodes, you can already binge listen your way from 1776 to the early 20th century. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on Spotify.
When you were in history class, what did you learn? You learned that Honest Abe freed the slaves with one order, one stroke of the pen, just like that. Poof. The war ends, the slaves are free, and then old Abe gets his wig split while watching the Lion King on ice. But that's all right. He died for what was right. Forever our white savior. Yeah, all right. Tell that to the 250,000 enslaved people who didn't get their freedom until 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. I'm Andre, and this is the Redacted History Podcast. Today's episode is going to be shorter than usual, but necessary. This will probably be the most important episode that I've made thus far. On this show, you will hear me reference American education a lot, because every new thing that I learn surrounding the nuances and contextualizations of world history frustrates me to no end. Because at my core, I'm an inquirer. I like to learn things. I'm nosy. I have a freaking history podcast, for God's sake. I'm 27 years old, and I was largely unaware of what Juneteenth was, and better yet, what it meant. Until 2019. Yeah. At first, I felt embarrassed. Why didn't you know this? But then I reminded myself that I had a public school education in North Carolina that was probably just like yours. We learned about the Declaration of Independence, the Boston Tea Party, no taxation without representation. We did DPQs on the Philadelphia snake diagram. You know exactly what diagram I'm talking about. And the Emancipation Proclamation, the act that for a lot of folk turned Abraham Lincoln into a white savior of sorts, the greatest president of all time, the people's champion, the martyr. On many folks, Mount Rushmore of presidents, along with George Washington, FDR, JFK, and blah, 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 blah. But what I think Juneteenth represents is really what America is at its core, a problem sandwich with sprinkles on it. We free the enslaved people, kind of. We pass the 13th Amendment, which outlaws slavery, kind of. And boom! Ding dong, the witch is dead. Meanwhile, enslaved folk in Texas don't even know they're free. Abraham Lincoln is quickly put on the cheapest t-shirt, and Andrew Johnson, my favorite president of all time, starts a 20-year domino effect that effectively undoes everything we fought the Civil War for in the first place. Or at least, that's how I see it. I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself. I will give more explanation and nuance to all of these other things I'm talking about in other episodes, such as, you know, Andrew Johnson, the Black Codes. Bigots just make my blood boil, so if I get carried away, that's why. Yo, if you like what I do here, consider going over to Patreon and supporting me there. You'll get behind-the-scenes access to my creative process, you'll get to vote on the topics we talk about here and on TikTok, and you'll get discounts to merch and a lot of other things. So it'll be linked in the description below. Let's get back to the show. If you're unaware, Juneteenth symbolizes June 19th, 1865, the day that Union soldiers, led by Major General George Granger, walked into Galveston, Texas with the news that the war was over and the enslaved were free. June 19th, 1865, 2.5 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation. One of the main reasons that Texas slaves were able to be held in bondage for so much longer is that during the war and towards its end, there were not enough Union soldiers in Texas to enforce any such laws or ordinances. And enslavers knew that. I actually read a crazy fact the other day that during the war, enslavers and plantation owners would actually pick up their slaves, their enslaved black people, and take them to Texas because they were trying to get as far away from the hand of the law as possible. So Texas was kind of like a racist nirvana, a racist safe house, if you will. One of General Granger's first orders of business was to read to the people of Texas General Order Number 3, which began most significantly with, quote, "The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired laborer," end quote. There are several theories as to how enslaved people were kept in bondage, each one just as insidious and disgusting as the last. Some say a messenger with the news of the war's ending and Lincoln's proclamation was murdered on his way to Texas to deliver the news. Some say that Texas plantation owners knew and said, LOL. And some say that Union forces were on their way but took their sweet time so as to allow Texas plantations to reap the benefits of one last harvest. Wow. And I wouldn't put this past Union soldiers. Oh, but they were the good guys, Andre. LOL. Yeah, the same good guys who held black people in concentration camps in Mississippi towards the end of the war. Yes, black people in concentration camps. Look up the Devil's Punch Bowl. We can talk about that another day, though. And all those theories I just listed, they could all be untrue. Or they could all be true. Who knows? The no longer enslaved reacted with shock, grief, disbelief, and jubilation. Some were gone before the last syllable left General Granger's lips. Some went north, which made the most sense. Some went to neighboring states such as Arkansas, Louisiana, and the Oklahoma Territory to find long-lost family members. Juneteenth actually became a day for commemoration, with many former enslaved people making their way back to Galveston each year to celebrate. Rodeos, fishing, barbecues, baseball are many activities you would see and would still see to this day of black folks celebrating Juneteenth. You will see events congregating around elders as they recount their stories and shared experiences. And most importantly, you will see family fellowshipping in celebration and commemoration.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Juneteenth celebrations began to dwindle at the start of the 20th century, where you'd see revisionist history happening in real time. Classroom textbooks would credit Lincoln with the official end of slavery, and July 4th began to be known widely and exclusively as the one and only Independence Day in America. But in recent years, Juneteenth has seen a major resurgence, for better or for worse. It only took the murderer of George Floyd on camera and countless other black individuals at the hands of law enforcement, and a summer-long protest in the middle of a global pandemic for Juneteenth to gain real steam. And on June 17, 2021, President Joe Biden signed the Juneteenth National Independence Day Act into law, establishing Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Yay! I will probably do a more in-depth Juneteenth episode at some point because there's so much to talk about. So much to talk about. So much nuance, context, a lot. But this short message was really on my heart. Juneteenth, to me, means accountability. It means that the fight for equality is never truly over. The holiday in and of itself motivates me to continuously interrogate the history that is America, and the world for that matter. I'm done accepting the bare minimum, and if you're listening to this episode, I hope you do the same. So today and every day, but especially today, if you are not black, I implore you to close your mouth and open your ears and your mind to the thoughts, plight, and motivations of black people in America, because you just might learn something. Also, open your purse. Do that too. So to everyone, I ask you, what does Juneteenth mean to you? Until next time, happy Juneteenth to all my brothers and sisters across the diaspora. Yo, if you like the podcast, consider leaving me a rating and review. It goes such a long way. Also, visual podcasts are on the way. People have been asking me about it, and we're about to get it going. The YouTube link is linked in the description below, so go subscribe, turn on the notifications so you'll know when the visual podcasts officially upload. I love you all, and I'll see you next week. We're back to regular scheduled programming starting this Friday. Peace.
Hi, I'm Mike Troy, host of the American Revolution podcast on the Airwave Media Network. This podcast is the origin story of the United States, how we went from colonies ruled by a king to the democratic republic that we have today. The American Revolution podcast tells the story of the revolution from beginning to end. Please subscribe for free. We're available on all major podcast platforms. I hope you will join me today on the American Revolution podcast.